So we're going to jump right back into, I think we're week four now, Made for More. And I think this is a great topic for men. So I think a lot of times, you can tell me if you don't agree with that, this, but I think a lot of times, as men, we kind of get, it's really easy to get caught up in routine in life. And you got your daily schedule that you do, that you've done for years. And you just do it because it's what you do. Anybody, that's kind of how you live your life. Like, you've got a routine. Like, you know what you're going to do. The alarm clock goes off at the same time. Even if you didn't have the alarm clock, you would still get up at the same time. Because, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Tell me the secret.
Yeah. Sleep. It was funny last week with the Olivers. Yeah. Brother Oliver told me our first night, he said he gets up about 5 o'clock every morning for work. Said, I am sleeping anymore. I walked out of the room, and there it was. I said, what are you doing? So I like getting up early too. It was about 6:30. He said, 5:30. I said, what? He said, I didn't even set my alarm. I couldn't go back to sleep. It's just kind of, we're just creatures of habit, right?
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we can rob ourselves of some of the things that God has for us. Yeah. Because what we're just talking about upstairs. We're comfortable in what we do. We're comfortable in what we know. But I truly do believe that there is always room for growth, especially in your relationship with God. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
There's always a place that you can go that, you know, you can always go deeper. There's always going to be, you know, things in the Word of God that you can say, well, I've read that scripture 1,000 times. I promise you, read it 1,001, and God will reveal something to you that you've been looking for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's just there's something about desiring more. And you might be able to sit here tonight and say, I don't know exactly what that looks like. What does that mean? Well, you know, it can mean a lot of things, but God knows what it means for you.
Amen.
But if you just express the fact that, Lord, I want to be maybe a better husband, or you know, I want to be a better father, or I just want to be a better Christian. I just want to, you know, I want to have a better relationship with you, Lord. What's that look like? And if you don't have the answers to that, you can ask the Lord and God will reveal it.
Sure.
Of what He desires from you. And God desires things from all of us.
Amen.
And He wants us to desire Him more. And you desire Him more, then that's when you start to realize, okay, I'm made for more than just whatever it is that maybe you do for your job. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Matt, what exactly is it that you do?
Run a lathe?
No,
at work, man.
So, would you say with confidence tonight that that's what you do for a living, but that's not who you are?
Absolutely.
That there's more to you than just that, right?
Absolutely.
A lathe operator.
Amen.
there's more to you. Now, thank God for the blessing of the job.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, who you truly are is what you do on a Thursday night when you sit down with people in middle court and you're teaching them Bible study. When you come home and walk through that door and your babies are daddy's home, right? And your wife is, you know, my husband's home. That is truly what you're made for. You know, it is to minister to those in your house and minister to those outside your house. You know, you say, well, I don't teach Bible studies. Well, okay. Can you share your testimony with somebody? Can you invite somebody to church? You know, you might never stand behind a pulpit, and that's fine. Not everybody's called to do that. But God calls all of us to do more than just work a job, 9 to 5, whatever it is, whatever your schedule is. There's more to you than that. We thank God for the blessings of the job and the finances, but we can't trap ourselves to that schedule, right? Because beyond that, we understand that when I'm at work, when I'm doing, or when I'm in this city, whatever I'm doing, that right there is your mission field. That there is something you're going to do. Has anybody ever witnessed to somebody at work?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Talk to somebody at work, and you've helped somebody out at work, and they needed somebody to talk to, and you were that person, right? So there's something more to us than what I think sometimes we really see in ourselves. So God created you. So therefore, if He created you, He has a purpose for you. So every person, no matter your life, your circumstances, no matter your age, no matter whether you're married or you're single, no matter your social standing, your financial resources, doesn't matter what you make on the job. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what's in your bank account today. You might have $1 million sitting in your savings. You might say, I don't even have a savings. Well, guess what? God still has purpose for you.
Amen.
That's the great thing about it. That's the great thing. You know, you read that story, but the woman comes with the little coin, all she has, just the widow's mite, all she has, nothing much. Doesn't compare to what the religious folks have, and they're putting big offerings in. They want everybody to see them. Doesn't matter.
Right.
To the Lord, it was equal sacrifice. She gave everything she could. So that's the greatest thing about the Lord, is that He looks and says, there's a purpose for you, not because of who you've made yourself to be, but because His hand is upon your life. That's the great thing. So we're all in that same equal playing field, that we know that God has something for all of us. All right. So the key is not just doing more, but spiritual disciplines. We talked about practices, support spiritual growth. These things are critical, but it's more about becoming the process of produces true transformation. So focus on becoming and doing the will of God in your life. So this right here that we desire is only available through a daily, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. All right? So if we want to be more, it's not, I could give you a stack of, you know, personal self-help, motivational speakers, books, and podcasts, or whatever. You know, I could give you a whole list, give you a stack of John Maxwell books and say, here you go. Those things are great, and I like those things, but it doesn't compare to time on your knees, talking to the Lord,
Amen.
Getting into His Word, letting the Lord speak to you, fasting, putting your flesh to the side. That is where you position yourself for God to do great things in your life.
Amen.
It comes to that personal, intimate time with God. All right, so God created us with an ultimate and unlimited potential to grow and to experience an even deeper relationship with Him. I love the fact that I truly do believe that God gave us an unlimited potential.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
And,
right?
Yeah.
We cap ourselves.
So true.
In anything.
Yeah.
Right? Did anybody in here, when you were a kid, you had really big dreams of something that you said, that's what I want to do when I grow up, and you didn't do it?
Right.
Anybody? What are you maybe willing to share with us?
I wanted to be a NASCAR driver.
Okay. Do you really believe if you had worked hard enough, you could have done it? Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Because, I'm going to say, the NASCAR drivers, somewhere in their life, they had to make a decision. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you look at like guys like Michael Jordan, his high school coach tells him, you ain't got what it takes. You're never going to go anywhere. You know what that did to him? A little fire under him.
No money, right?
To prove him wrong and say, it's in me and I want it bad enough.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes on to be the greatest of all time, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Right? Because somebody says, can't do it. But it wasn't that his coach didn't make him go be the greatest. It was something inside of him that said, I want more for myself. Right? Is there anybody else that you would share something? I don't care if it's crazy. An astronaut? You want to be an astronaut? Anybody? Don't want to be a firefighter? My kids, they change all the time. They want to be a cowboy. Some days when they were younger, they want to be a dinosaur. I mean, come on. Some things you should cap yourself out on. But the reality is, in God, you know, you look around, and I think, I'll speak from a minister standpoint. I look around and I see just phenomenal, just powerful men of God that are used in mighty ways. And you look back to, I never got to meet him, but I know some of you, maybe in this room, got to hear him preach. I think he even preached here, Billy Cole.
Mm-hmm.
But Billy Cole preached here, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's someone who saw hundreds of thousands of souls, saw over 100,000 souls in one crusade receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In one crusade. That's 1 week. Over 100,000 people.
Oh,
and he spoke that, right?
Praise God.
That's a powerful man.
Yeah.
It is. But that is not something that he just said, you know what? You know, I think I'm going to go preach.
No.
No. It took a lot of getting to where he was. It took a lot of sacrifice. It took a lot of fasting. It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of getting in God's Word and studying God's Word. And there's a story of a young preacher that traveled to his house one day. And I got to hear this from Brother Kleindienst, because Brother Kleindienst was actually there when this took place. And this young man walked in, and he said, Brother Cole, he said, I have come to get your mantle. He said, you've come for my mantle. He said, yes, I want your mantle. Basically, he's saying, if you're not sure what that, if you don't know what that means, he was basically saying, I want to be just like you. I want you, everything that you are, I want you to place it upon me so I can minister like you minister. He said, okay, young man. He said, come before me. He said, get down on your knees and I'm going to lay my hands on your head. And he said, he laid his hands on his head and he said, God, I pray that you will take this young man through every situation I went through, every valley, all the torment and the pain and the suffering. And he said, the young man grabbed his hands and threw him off. He said, no. That's not what I asked for. I asked for your mantle. He said, then you have to be willing to go through what I went through to get that. So whatever we want in God, you have to be willing to put forth the effort to get it, right? So if you want to be a great man of God, then you've got to be willing to sacrifice some things. You've got to be willing to get out of that comfort zone we talked about upstairs. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, whatever, I said this upstairs, and when you say this, if you truly mean it, you say it, you better brace yourself. Mm-hmm. Better get ready. You say, whatever the cost, no matter what, whatever it takes, for God, you to get me where I need to be. Do it. Those prayers, you better mean it.
Oh, yeah.
You better prepare yourself for it. Because I believe the Lord hears that. And I believe that the Lord will honor those prayers. And if he sees you're truly desiring to get closer to him, then whatever it takes, Lord, I want to get closer to you. Because in the end, that's what matters. That's what matters.
Yep.
Like I said upstairs, you've got to be right in his eyes. It doesn't matter if you come home at the end of the day and your wife looks at you and she says, you've done everything right. I'm guessing nobody's wife does that. Right?
Oh,
he's
every
once in a while. You know, it's a. I don't think if you got kids. Well, you know, yeah. If you got kids, I don't know if they ever come to you and be like, Dad, you do everything perfect.
No.
Right?
No.
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 No. No. Especially you get teenagers, they start, why do you do it that way? Tell you. Especially start working with technology. I was on my phone the other day doing something. Presley said, why did you do it? Why did you do it that way?
Mm-hmm.
I said, so I've always done it. He's like, there's a much easier way, Dad. And I'm like, here we go. Here we go. All right. Like, but the old way works, right? That's where I'm getting to in life.
Yeah.
The old way is not broken, so I will take I'll take the 40 steps to get it done instead of your 3, all right? There's an app for that.
Yeah,
there's an app for everything, right?
Yeah.
but it's... I don't know. Well, what matters... We come home, you may never hear that. Maybe you might hear it every once in a while.
Right.
Hey, you do things great, you do things perfect, whatever. But what is going to matter in the end is when we stand before the Lord and what he says. If he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we're striving for.
Right. Amen.
We want to hear that. Well, how do you get there? You strive to be the best you can be and be more than who you are.
Amen.
In God while you're here.
Yeah.
You know, and some people in this room, this reality is some people in this room, you might start this journey and say, you know what? I take the challenge. I'm going to start praying more. I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to fast. I'm going to try to be a better husband. I'm going to try to be just a better Christian. You know, I'm just going to try to be a better saint. I'm just going to, you know, try to be a better father, whatever it is. Try to be a better employee, whatever it is. That's great. Those things are good. That's how we do that. That's how you start. And you just keep growing in that. You and you keep striving and you keep growing. It's what I've talked about so many times. It's the analogy of lifting weights. I use Brother Jack every time just because he's got those arms of steel over here. But it's because he set his mind that he wanted to be fit. So it's the resistance of the weights that makes him grow and get stronger, right? That's what gives the definition. Who you are will begin to change. What your wife sees when you walk in the door will begin to change. When you walk out the door into your place of work, your employees start saying, hey, there's something different about you.
Amen.
So I love those testimonies. I love that testimony. I know he's not here tonight, Brother Sam. When Sam came in, and I remember him telling me, I'm just here for my mom. That, I think it was Mother's Day service. He said, I'm just here for one service for my mom. This is not for me. I won't be back. Here we are, what, I don't know, 3 or 4 years later?
Almost five years.
You know, and here he is. And I'm going to never forget when he first came to me, that first testimony, he said he was at work. And if you knew Brother Sam before, hallelujah, I've heard stories. But he said that there was a guy at work that was trying to make him mad. Trying, on purpose. Trying to get him to react. And he wouldn't react. And the guy came to him and said, what in the world? What has happened to you? What is so different about you? And he said, man, I've met the Lord. I know Jesus. I got the Holy Ghost. And he's just telling, I got the Holy Ghost. I got baptized. You know, I'm a different person. Right, yeah. You know, and is he perfect? No, he's not here. No. He would tell you right now, I mean, God isn't perfect because there's no perfect person in this world.
Right. Amen.
But people are starting to see change. And that's what we want. We want people to see change in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, even if you feel like, hey, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. That's great. But there's more for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's more for you. There's more for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, we got to keep growing. And the day we stop growing is the day we
start dying.
Yep. Right? All right. So let's. I'm going to read a story to us. 8-year-old boy named Robert. Robert, he rode the school bus to a children's revival. And he was from a very rough neighborhood. He was neglected by his parents. They paid no attention to him. And they lived a life that was not beneficial for Robert. He was in a need of a lot more in his life. He was in need of love in his life, attention in his life. And that night, when he was picked up from that for that children's revival on that church bus, he received the gift of the Holy Ghost as an altar worker explained to him that what he was feeling was the love of God. Little Robert turned around. He was overwhelmed with peace and joy. And he looked at her and he said, can I have as much of this as I want? And she said, yes, you can have more. You can have more. Just that little bit, he got a taste of it. And he thought, there's got to be more of this. How much can I have?
Amen.
I think if we would have that mentality as men, for the good things in life, the things of God, not just that, it's not just a one-time experience.
Yeah.
Right. But it's, what else does God have for me? See, a lot of people have that mentality. They have, I think it's a mistake that they think, well, if I receive the Holy Ghost, I get baptized, that's it. What else is there? Right?
Hold on.
Well, that's when it starts.
Yeah.
That's the launching pad for what God has for you. That's not the end.
Amen.
That's just the very beginning.
Right.
Because that's where the relationship starts with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you start to really get to know Him. That's where He's living inside you. He's changing the way you think and the way you talk and the things you do and the places you go and the stuff you look at, all those things begin to change because you now have a relationship with Him.
Yeah.
So to have that mindset of little Robert to be able to say, can I have as much of this as I want? And not, I've had enough church. Had enough church for the week. I went Sunday morning, pastor preached 48 minutes. When he said he was going to preach 45, I've had enough. So I've had 3 extra minutes. I don't need to come Wednesday night here and talk. Right? And it's easy for, that's what we're talking about, getting upstairs. And that word upstairs was powerful. Because we get to that place, whether we want to admit it or not, we can all get to that place where we're comfortable with just a Sunday morning sermon.
Right?
Right.
Right.
And sometimes we pat ourselves on the back because we come to church and we sit through a 2-hour service and we're like, man, look what I've done for the week.
Mm-hmm.
I can check it off. I did my part. Did my part for my family. I showed up. I was a good example to my kids because I came and checked it off. Exactly, Brother Mark.
Yeah.
I can check. That's how we get that mentality. I can just check it off. I did my part.
Yeah. There we
I can
go.
Check my checklist. I checked something off this week. And we can appease ourselves in our own conscience to think, man, we've done something really powerful this week.
Right.
Look what I did. Look at that great example I set for my kids. Mm. Now, is it good to be here on a Sunday morning and get your kids here at Sunday school?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You should, right? Because that's where they come and they learn the Word of God. They sit in the classroom and they get to be around their peers. That's awesome to do.
Amen.
But what really impacts them, all right, is what they see, hear, at home.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Even the little things of before you eat family dinner together, of, hey, as the dad or as the husband, let's pray together. That means a lot.
Yeah.
It means a lot to your kids. You're training them at home. Sunday school, we don't get your kids for an hour. Mm-hmm. That's it. If you got youth, they only have them for an hour, hour and a half. Part of that, they're playing games. All right?
Yeah.
They're being teenagers, being goofy. But the Brooks have about that much influence on a Wednesday night. And you have this much the rest of the week. So it's up to us. It is. Who we are is who they're going to be.
Right.
We make that decision. So if there is more for us, think about this. If you are striving to be more in God, it is natural as a leader for those who are following you to grow if you're growing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
They're going to grow if you're growing.
Sure.
Yeah. Because you're up front, you're leading them. So it's the same thing that I share a lot in Bible talks about as a shepherd. You heard me say it. Shepherds don't lead from the back.
Right.
Shepherds lead from the front. Because where I'm walking, that's why it matters. If you're, and that's why you think like, what is it? What is there pressure on a pastor? Just a little. Okay. Because I have the ability. Think about this.
Yeah.
I have the ability to destroy the church or help the church grow.
Oh yeah.
I do. So it matters, not just only my family. Mm-hmm. All right, because I'm responsible for them as well. I'm not just pastor. I'm dad. I'm husband. You know, I'm all those things as well. So that same thing that I have here for the whole church, you have at your house every day. That's why it's important when you come in on a Sunday morning and I'm preaching that you hear the Word of God and you respond to the Word of God. Right?
Yeah.
That it's important if your kids are sitting with you. And this is not my notes at all. I'm just kind of off my nose. I just feel to say this. If your kids are sitting with you, that's a great opportunity for you to teach them. Hey, pastor speaking, we need to respect the man of God and what he is saying because he is reading the Word of God to us.
Yeah.
That's why if you notice, I ask everybody to stand when we read the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of reverence for the Word of God. It's not just another book.
Right.
It's not.
It's living.
And that sermon on a Sunday morning, it's not just something, I promise you, it's not just something that I get up on a Sunday morning and I go to sermons.com and I find the best one I can find and preach and bring something to you. All
right?
Now, there are times, and you can ask him right here, there are times that God will give you a message that you will carry for weeks. Am I right?
Sure.
Brother Matt, am I right?
Yeah.
There are things that God will lay upon you that you carry that.
Yeah.
For weeks. And you just know, like, there's someone who needs to hear this. And I'm going to bring this to the congregation. And you just pray, Lord, I hope and pray that they're ready to receive this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ready to hear this. And they're ready to apply it to their life.
Amen.
Is this something, is something completely different to hear it and then to apply it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can read leadership books all day long. Or listen to podcasts all day long, but if I don't take those nuggets and actually apply it to my life, that's why I pray. If you notice this, when I pray at the end of the sermon, or if I'm dismissing the church, I always pray, Lord, let this word be a seed,
right,
planted deep in our hearts, and let it grow throughout the week. That means like, and you get in a situation on Monday, and there's something inside that you received that word, and you planted it down deep inside of you, that begins to speak to you on Monday or Tuesday or Thursday, whatever. That's why it's so important on a Sunday morning that we're listening. We've got kids. We're telling our kids, listen, listen to what God's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. I heard a joke earlier today. It was funny because it's kind of deer season. And the story was, it just kind of goes along with this. I'll share it real quick. But there was a pastor that two men in his church came to him and said, hey, can we come and hunt on, he had a private property, he had it set up. Can we come and hunt with you? Well, he had this trophy buck, like, he'd been watching. And he was like, I don't know, I usually go by myself, but okay, I'll let you two come with me. And as they were walking in, this massive buck jumped out in front of them, and all three of them, boom, shot at the same time. Well, the story goes that ODR was down the road, and they heard the gunshots, and they just came down to check what was going on. And they found the three men arguing over who shot the deer, because there was just one shot, they hit it. And he walked up, and he picked up the deer and was looking around. He said, gentlemen, I'm sorry. He said, but I have to say that it was absolutely the pastor who hit this deer. And they said, well, how do you know that? We all shot at the same time. He said, because it went in one ear and out the other.
Had to have been the pastor.
Yep, I got a chuckle out of that one.
That's good.
I got a chuckle out of that one.
Yeah,
bad shot. Bad shot for
real.
Yeah, exactly. But there are sometimes that I feel like some sermons go one in ear and out the other.
Uh-huh.
I'll have conversations the following week, and I'm like, did you not hear Sunday sermon? Pretty sure I talked about just this thing right here. But I think that there are sometimes that it's easy to sit in a service or listen to a sermon and just be thinking of like what's coming up throughout the week and your schedule and just all those things, and you leave and think, what was the sermon about?
Mm.
Right? And that's why sometimes I think it's just for fun for me, I say, did I remember what I preached last week? Or
you were here.
Yeah, you weren't here.
Yeah, come on now. Yeah, and sometimes I forget myself what I preached last week. But it's important. And one of the biggest things we can do is when I did all this, come back to say to respond to the Word of God. And how powerful that is, we have an opportunity every Sunday to take what has been given, a word from God, right? And to take that and to apply it to our lives. We have that opportunity. Not everybody has that opportunity.
Right?
There's a lot of people that don't know who He is. They choose not to be here. But we choose to be here. So if we want to be more than who we are currently, we have to take every opportunity we get. A Wednesday night, this is an opportunity. Right? It's an opportunity to hear the Word of God. It's an opportunity to be challenged to do what? Be more than who we are. To grow in who you are and what you're doing, to walk with God. Grow as a husband, grow as a father, whatever it may be. We get to be challenged. So to take that opportunity and respond to that word, that's where it's so powerful. That's why you've ever heard me say, give an altar call. You say, why you do that, Pastor? Because what I'm doing is giving you an opportunity to take what I just brought to you, or whoever's preaching, what they just brought to you, and to not just hear it and just let it sit on your ears, like that was good, and you walk out the door and you get to lunch and you forget half of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is that opportunity to come to the altar and actually take everything that was just brought to you. Because we were listening, we were applying it, and we take it in the altar, and we apply it to our life, and what you're doing there is you're saying, I want to be more.
Amen.
I want to be more than who I am right now.
Amen.
I want to grow. And then you might, well, I'll tell you, here's a great thing to do, is to go back and just maybe refresh that sermon throughout the week. Look at what scriptures am I talking about? Go read those scriptures throughout the week. If I'm teaching about a story in the Bible, go dive into that story for the week. throughout the week. Let that be your devotion time, maybe in the morning or in the evening, whatever it is. And I promise you that if you're doing this, especially, and you don't do it just for this reason, I'm not saying this, but how powerful would it be for your kids to walk in somewhere sometime during the day and to see Dad with his Bible open reading the Word of God? How powerful would that be? Or how powerful would it be if they hear Dad praying, or even if you don't do it yet, over dinner, stop everybody and say, hey, put the fork down, right? We haven't prayed yet.
Amen.
The simple prayer of God, thank you for this in front of me. Not everybody has this. We just want to stop and say thank you. What you're doing is you're setting a bar for your kids because they're going to say, oh, okay. Well, I want to know where Dad is.
Oh, yeah.
Because the reality is, your kids are watching you. They want to walk in your shoes. So the further you walk and the more you grow, I promise you, the further they're going to go. And you're setting them up. Challenge them. Challenge them to grow now. All right? Challenge them to grow now. I am so far on the notes, but it's okay. I just feel like it's just good things for us to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to grow. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke and I thought and reasoned as a child.
Yeah.
But when I grew up, I put away childish things. All right? We're not kids anymore. We have grown physically. It is time for us to maybe spiritually, we say, you know what? I'm not as mature as I could be. And put some childish things away. I'm going to maybe put some childish things away and put some more vision on the Lord, and I'm going to grow on the Lord. all right. In order to do this is going to require intentional effort, time and focus, thoughtful and honest examination of self. That's one of the biggest things, is not asking somebody else to do it, because not everybody knows the deep, dark, secret places of you. Only you and God, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are things in here that nobody else knows about you except for the Lord. I see the heads now.
Amen.
Yep. So those are the places that you have to examine for yourself.
Yeah.
And you got to ask yourself, like, what needs to go? What is hindering me? What is stopping me from growing? What is stopping me from reaching my full potential in God? What's that next step? I want to take it, but I feel like there's a wall I'm hitting. What is that wall? What needs to come down? So you have to have that honest examination of yourself. It's going to require prayer. It's going to require searching the scriptures and seeking the word of the Lord. Be sensitive to the Lord as you search your own heart. Allow the Lord to reveal things unto you, because he will. Let the Lord lead you in this journey that you take to grow and become more. Transparency with yourself and with God concerning areas of weakness or areas of lack. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is probably one of the biggest things, I think, especially for men. I think a lot of times we have a hard time admitting we might have a weakness. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Me? What? No. And this is one of the, if you have, I don't know, maybe if you want to ask your wife.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I don't point out my weaknesses. If you want to ask your kids, I don't know. But how powerful do you think it would be? And some of you might say, it might depend on the boss. But how powerful would it be if you went to your boss and said, point out my weaknesses. What can I do better on the job? And they might say, why? Because I want to be the best I can be. I want to produce the best I can for you and for this company. You think they'd think you're an idiot, or they would be very impressed? But
I'd be impressed.
Okay.
I'd be impressed.
I think I can do something with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, think of that, how the Lord would feel if you came to him and said, Lord, it's time to get real.
Mm-hmm.
I want to grow. I'm tired of being stagnant. I've been here for a long time. I want to grow deeper in you. I want to be a better example to my wife, my kids. I want to be a better example to the people at church or the kids at church. You know, there's a lot of kids at church who don't have a father figure in their life. Guess who they're looking at?
Mm-hmm.
All of us right here.
That's it.
Yeah. They're looking to us. I'm going to forget when I worked at the ranch, the Lighthouse Ranch for boys. Those boys were all troubled teens, a lot of gang background. And the night before I left, I was told not to let the boys know. I could put a letter under their door that they would receive the next morning, just because it's very difficult for those kids. And I had one boy banging on the door, 13 years old, banging on the door. So I finally went down and turned the security alarm off, opened the door. His name was Victor. When I opened that door, he came out at me. And I thought he was like, I thought he was going to do something. And then I realized what was going on. He had tears streaming down his face, and he was shaking. And he was saying, Brother Barry, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. And I said, Victor, what's wrong? He said, you're the only true father figure I've had in my life ever. His dad started giving him drugs when he was 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
7 years old. He was addicted. He was running drugs as a child. And he said, please don't leave me. I'll tell you, I about changed all my plans. We about stayed because of that one kid. But once I understand that there's a lot of victors in this, it might not have all the issues, maybe.
Right.
But there's a lot of kids in this church that are watching every move that you make, not just your own kids. Because they're asking themselves, what's it look like to be a man of God? What's it look like to be a good husband? What does it look like to be a good dad? They truly want to know. Oh, yeah. You got young men in our church that the only example they're ever going to have in their life is us. And they're wanting to know, what's that look like? What's consistency of church look like? They're watching us.
Amen.
That's one thing I always praised Elder Chapman about. I did. I always told him thank you. Because I knew there was times when him or Brother Brooks, that they did not feel like being here. They were exhausted. They were worn out. Especially towards the end. And I'll never forget, Elder Chapman came up to me after church one day. He grabbed my hand. And he said, Pastor, I just want to tell you something. I said, okay. He said, I promise I'm not sleeping on your sermon when you're preaching. He said, I'm just really tired and I just need to close my eyes, but I'm listening.
Yeah.
I said, thank you for being here. That's what we're looking to. I look to that.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
You know? And thankfully, I was blessed enough. I grew up in a home where I watched my mom and dad both. Where if the church doors were open, you better believe mom and dad weren't be there.
Yeah.
This is how I know.
I missed High in Prayer last week.
Yep.
And Logan, I got Logan up because I went to work instead. And Logan got home, and he goes, can't believe you chose work over that.
Oh,
so today,
that's good.
I turned down my late shifts. And I got home, I said, Logan, I'm going to church with you. I turned down my work. He gave me a hug. Mm.
Great.
That's good.
Absolutely good.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, that little bit of extra money,
it matters.
Never replace
what
you're doing tonight.
Yeah.
Nope. Because when he gets old enough and he's out on his own, he's not going to look back and he's not going to say, well, Dad worked overtime all the time. Dad took the extra shifts. Dad was focused on money. So that's going to be my drive. Mm-hmm. But nope. His focus, his drive is going to be, Dad went to church. That's where his priorities are at. And that's what's going to matter. Because when the trumpet sounds, it doesn't matter what's in your mouth. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, what house you live in, all this stuff. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
It doesn't matter.
Don was teaching him good. Took him up here once while your dad remembered what it says in the Bible. I'm like,
but that's good.
Yeah.
Right? That
yeah.
means you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, when your kids are to the place where they can say, you know, hey, what's the word of God say?
Yeah.
That's good. That's great. It means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
That's what matters. And I just want to challenge all this tonight, just to be that example in your home and beyond. When you go into work, understand, like I just said, you guys work together. When you guys walk in that front door every morning, both of you are stepping into your mission field. There is somebody there who needs to hear what you have to say. And they need to watch your attitude. That when things go south and everyone else has been out of shape and you've got a cool head about you, like, how in the world? People want to know. people will start asking, what is different about you? What is it that's different about you? Well, that's that open door to share with them.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's changed my life. I'm not like I used to be.
Amen on that.
And you're not. There's nobody in this room. You're not who you used to be.
All right.
You're a different person.
Amen.
Because of that. So your example has changed now. And with that comes the responsibility of making sure that you're leading with that great example. And you're showing those kids, this is what it looks like to be a man of God. And I want to say, when I say man of God, a lot of times in the church, people think that means like the preacher. He's the man of God, right? Yes, you can use it that way. But understand, to be a man of God, look at David. He was a man after God's own heart. Right?
Yep.
That's what he's known for. Was he perfect? Read the scripture.
No.
No.
Not even.
All right?
Sent a man off the war.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he had some issues. But in the end, he had a heart for the things of God.
Amen.
That's what matters.
Because
that's what people see. People want to see, what is your heart for? Who are you in here?
Yeah.
What comes out of here? You know, that they're watching every little move. And I'll just add a whole new week of notes here, but I know there's something I want to share. I don't want to share that. I'll share that next time. All right. Philippians 3:12-14. Paul says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. If you've got King James, this is, I know it's my one thing for you. So what was the one thing he is talking about here? It was to know Christ.
Amen.
For himself. Right? Not through somebody else, but for himself. No matter what setbacks that you have experienced, there is more for you when you grow your relationship with God. Now, some folks may say, and maybe some of us in this room, you might have said these words before, well, that's just not who I am. Well, or that's just not for me. Or this is who I am, this is how I always be. Right? It's that same mentality of, you know, you have dreams of great things, NASCAR driver, but you're like, I'll never be able to achieve that. Right? Talk yourself out of it. You will talk yourself out of it. So the one thing for us that we can't afford to talk ourselves out of is to finish the race that you've started. Finish the journey
Amen.
That you have started with the Lord. And it is a journey. That's one of the greatest things that I think about a walk with God is it looks different for everybody. So I want to take the pressure off of anybody in this room tonight. If you say, well, I can't pray like you. You know, you might say, Kevin, you might say, well, I can't sing like Brother Kidwell. I don't know, can you? Come on, Kev.
Some hidden talent here.
Said make a joyful noise.
Right? There you go. Come on.
But, you know, you might say, like, Dave, you might say, you know, well, I haven't been around, I haven't prayed as much as Brother Chapman has. You know, I'm not where he's at. That's okay.
Yeah.
Been in this, how many years have you been in this?
How long have I been in Pentecost?
Yeah.
All my life.
All his life.
Hallelujah.
All his life. This is all I've known. 42 years. This is all I've known, right? Not perfect. I'm not perfect. He's not perfect. We're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we were raised in this. Take the pressure off of yourself to say, well, I have to be just like them. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking to someone that might have been on this journey a little longer. As I was talking about earlier, you always are looking and following mm-hmm. of where they're going. And just say, I would like to reach that. I'd like to get there.
Right.
But this is how it should be. That when you do get there, that person shouldn't be there anymore
right.
if they're doing it right.
Right.
Because we all should be continually growing. Mm-hmm. That's one of the greatest things I love about this church. Our logo, if you don't know this, for our church logo, is it on here?
Yeah.
The little dots. There is a reason, there is a purpose for every little dot. So, obviously, the full logo is on here of LifePoint. But if you look at this dot right here, represents someone who's brand new to Christ. All right? You're brand new. Like, you had no background. You just came in. I'm just coming to church. I don't know what this is all about, but I want to come to church. I want to be a part of LifePoint. That's what it represents right here. Okay? And then, if you look at the very end of the T, there's a dot in the end. You say, well, what does that represent? Well, those strong pillars in our church that are not moving, they're still growing. They've been doing this for a very long time. You would look like a Sister Brooks. She knows who she is.
Oh, yeah.
She's not wavering, okay? I promise you. It doesn't matter. She knows who she is. It was like an Elder Chapman, a Brother Brooks. It says pillars. Pillars. That's what it represents. But the greatest thing is you can be here. Or you can be clear out here, or you can be somewhere in the middle, but you're still a part of the church.
Amen.
And you're on a journey. We're all on this journey together. Alright? And Sister Brooks, you say, well, she's been doing this a long time. Yes, she has. 90-some years. But I promise you, if you asked her if she's arrived, nope.
Right. Yeah.
She prays every day, she reads the word every day. I called a fast not too long ago. And she said, Pastor, I don't know if I can do the full thing. I'm like, I don't expect you to do the full thing, all right? Do what you can do. But she Amen. Has that desire because she wants to still grow in the Lord.
Right.
So what we are, we're on this journey, all of us. So I don't want you to look at yourself and say, man, it's not. No, you're not. You're not. You're not a Brother Chapman. Because you haven't been doing this as long, right? That's fine. As long as you're moving forward and you say, I'm made for more. There is more to me than this. I can be a better father. I can be a better husband. I can be a better Christian. I can be a better co-worker, better employee, whatever it is, better saint in the church. There's more to me than what I'm currently doing. And if I just continue on this journey, someday you say, I'm going to finish this race that I've started.
Amen.
And someday when the trumpet sounds, you will not look like what you currently look like. You will not be where you currently are. But you're going to grow in places in the Lord that you never dreamed you could ever go. And because of that, and because of those decisions that you make, your kiddos are going to be raising their kids in the church.
Yeah.
And your grandkids are someday going to say, thank you, Grandpa, for making that decision years ago. Because you set it, you set a precedence in your home that church matters.
Yeah.
Church matters. This is our priority. This is what matters. Why? Because in the end, this is what's going to matter, our relationship with God. So we have to finish this journey strong, but we have to keep walking every day. Right?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Bible says, Psalms 23, yea, though I
walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
It doesn't say, yea, though I sit. It's not always going to be perfect.
Nope.
You're not always going to have good days. It's not going to be sunshine and just blue skies and fields full of 20-point bucks hopping around. It's just in this season. You know? It's not always going to be like that. All right. You're going to have those days. I took Presley out Monday. We sat for 12 hours and high wind, freezing temperatures. Couldn't feel my toes. And didn't see a single thing.
Hallelujah.
This is the kid who went out 2 years in a row, was out for 30 minutes, and shot a buck both times. it was an eye-opener for him. And he was like, are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. Yeah. I can't feel my toes, and we're not seeing anything. And I said, no. Because they'll probably come out around this time, right? Wait for that opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. Couldn't feel my toes walking back to the truck. But yesterday, went out, set for an hour and a half, and I dropped my first buck yesterday.
All right. Hallelujah.
And Preston dropped himself a doe today. And but it was one of those things, like, it's not always going to be, you're going to have those days, but you have to walk through those days. I'm back talking spiritually now. You have to be able to walk through those days and not just sit down in them.
Amen.
Because this is that word the bishop started giving in 2020. He said that if you dwell on the here and now, you will die in the here and now.
Yep.
But look out ahead and say, what's God got for me tomorrow?
Amen.
What does he have for me next week? What does he have for my family? What does he have for my kids 10 years from now? What does God have for who I am and who I'm raising and who's following me? And that's what's going to get you to continue walking every single day and keep growing in the Lord. And before you know it, you're going to be to a place and be like, how did I get here? Wow, this is amazing. I've grown so much in the Lord, right? It's a journey that we're all on. But we often remember, you're made for more.
Yeah.
You're made for more than what you're currently doing and who you currently are. And God has something powerful for you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray and receive this word from Jesus. God, I thank you for speaking to us tonight.
Thank you for challenging us, Lord. I ask you, Lord, right now, God, to challenge, Lord, God, that every man in this room, God, help us, Lord, to continue this journey. On the hard days, God, through the valleys, Lord, when things are not great, things are hard, Lord, I pray, God, we keep walking, Lord, God, we keep climbing, Lord, God, that mountain, Lord, God, I pray, Jesus, if you would strengthen them, Lord, God, help them, Lord, God, to make right decisions in their life. God, I pray, God, as they seek your face and seek your voice, Lord, you will speak to them, give them guidance, Lord, give them clear vision, Lord. God, I pray, God, help them be great examples in their home and in this church, in this community, God, on their job. God, I pray, God, let them be a witness, God, let them share their testimony, Lord. God, I pray, God, if you would right now, Lord Jesus, touch them, strengthen them, Lord God. God, encourage them, God, every day, Lord, to get up and continue the journey, Lord, to what you have for them, God. Because there is more, God, there is more for us than what we currently have, God. You have more for everyone in this room. There's a purpose, God, for every single man in this room. God, I pray, God, reveal it unto them as they seek your face, Lord, as they seek your heartbeat, Lord. God, let tonight's word, God, be a seed planted in our heart, God, that will flourish into something great, God, in our homes, in our families, in our marriages, God. And we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to, just for a second, I like doing this just for the elders in the room. Brother Chapman, do you have anything you